It's not going to happen by accident. You are not going to accidentally stumble upon holiness. You are not accidentally going to wander down the wrong way and find yourself on the highway of holiness. But you have to be intentional. You have to make up your mind. You have to say to yourself that I am going to live a holy life. And then as the writer of Hebrews says here, you've got to follow it. You've got to pursue it like one animal would pursue another animal. You've got to be hot on the tail of holiness.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze continues our series titled, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Holiness Must Be Intentional from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World.
We've been dealing with a series on holiness, and we have covered holiness at various levels and from different approaches. And I was looking back yesterday, and this is actually the eighth message that we've had on holiness. And you know, we've talked about holiness from every aspect. And so this morning we want to look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, where the writer of Hebrews says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so I want us to think on this thought today, that holiness must be intentional, that you've got to be intentional about this thing of holiness. And, you know, I thought about the song, Take Time to Be Holy. And so as we come today, we want to encourage you to be intentional about holiness and that you would take time to be holy. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for all that is going on today. And Lord, we even thank you for the song that we just got finished singing, Lord, because now we are in your word. And the choir so beautifully admonished us to allow our steps to be ordered in your word. So we want to hear what the word has to say today so that we can order our steps in your word. Lord, I ask now that you would just touch my heart, touch my mind, touch my tongue. Lord, allow me to say those things that you would have this congregation to hear today. And Lord, as we open up the word, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Lord, feed us as we sit around your table today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I heard a story about a little boy who loved cucumbers. And he wanted to plant some cucumbers so that he could see the fruit of his hand. And so his dad explained to him the process of growth and planting and all of that. He said that now you have to put the seed in the ground, and the seed will begin to germinate, and then it will sprout up, and then it will produce some leaves, and then finally some fruit will pop out off of that. And so the little boy was excited about the process. Later on that day, he went and dug the seeds up because he wanted to see how they were doing. It takes time. It takes time. And so the songwriter lets us know that if we want to be holy, that we've got to take time to be holy. Now, as I think about the words of this song, we see that it says, take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, thou him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever be tied. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by the Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Take time to be holy. The words of this song were penned by William Longstaff. He was a wealthy Englishman who served as a treasurer in Bethesda Free Chapel, a port in northeastern England. This magnificent song originally was written by Longstaff as a poem. And he put these words in this poem and then kind of set them aside. Nobody else heard from this poem again until a man by the name of George Stevens came along and he took Longstaff's poem and he put it to words. And the rest is history. This has become one of the great hymns of the church. Take time to be holy. As I was preparing for the message this week, I was reading one preacher, and he was talking about how he didn't like this song. And he said that he didn't like the song because it was almost like the songwriter is telling us, well, you know, you got to stop and take time and be holy. So in the midst of my day, the way this preacher understood it, that you have to, if you're going along in your day, that you need to stop at some point and take time to be holy. And then you can resume what you were doing and then stop and take time again to be holy. But as you really think about this song that we are looking at, you understand that the writer is talking about holiness in two ways. He's talking about holiness, first of all, in preparation, and then holiness in practice. And so what is the idea here? The idea behind the song is that you would take time to be holy in preparation, that you would spend time with the Lord in his word, as the choir just got finished singing about. You would spend time in prayer. You would spend time in meditation, that you would spend time preparing your heart to be holy. And then we preach the whole message on this. Then you would go out and that you would practice holiness. And so what the song is admonishing us, it's admonishing us to holiness in both practice and preparation. So as we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, let's get some background. I always like to give background. You know, somebody said a text without a context is just a pretext. And so I always try to give background to the passage because, you know, we can take verses out and we can make them say whatever we wanted to make it say. So I like to give context. You know, somebody said one of the worst inventions was, and I know I got a bunch of them, so, you know, I'm a violator of this too, is these little plaques that we put on our walls with scripture. You know, we all have them. I got them in my bathroom. I got them in my bedroom, in my study. You know, you got to, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, or, you know, follow after God. You know, you got these little verses that you take and you put up on the wall. And one preacher said that when you do that and you put those verses on the wall, that you should have wallpaper behind it that says context, 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 right? Because it's easy to take these verses and make them say what we want to say. So let's get some background to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. And this is in your notes for you. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer gives us a series of exhortations. So he's exhorting his readers to certain things. He's saying, first of all, that you are not to lose heart in the midst of trials, but you are to keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, passage verse 1 that many of you already have memorized. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So why did he say that? You know, we take that. We could put that on the wall too, right? Need context behind it. And so 1 through 3, you know, he talks about keeping your eyes on Jesus. In verses 12 through 13, he's encouraging the weak and the feeble. And then in chapter 12, verse 14, he's exhorting us to live in peace with others and be holy. And then finally, he is exhorting us to rejoice in the Lord because he has brought his children to the mountain of joy and not the mountain of fear. And so those are the exhortations in this chapter. But there's also some warnings in the chapter.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
Notice what these warnings are. It says, God disciplines his children who are doing wrong. And we all know this verse too, right? Whom the Lord loves, he also what? Chastens. Okay, so that verse is in there. He says, don't become defiled through bitterness. Don't allow a root of bitterness to spring up in you. And then in verses 16 and 17, he says, avoid immorality. So there we have the context. There, in this chapter, we have exhortations and we have warnings. And so one of the exhortations in this particular chapter is that we would pursue holiness. So in the midst of all these exhortations and warnings, what's the one thing he's trying to tell us? Pursue holiness. Follow after holiness. Now, what does that mean as we continue to look at the notes? The word follow in the Greek is dioka, and it has several shades of meaning. The idea behind the shade of meaning applicable here is to set as a goal and put forth energy to attain it. So that word in verse 14 where it says follow, what it means is that you would put a goal out there and then that you would do everything within your power. You would do everything within your energy to accomplish that goal. So what is it that we are to put out there? He said, first of all, follow peace with all men. But we're not preaching on that today, so we're not going to dwell there. He says, follow after what? Holiness. Pursue it. Put it out there as your goal and pursue it. Watch this. In preparation and in practice. That when you get up in the morning, you should be pursuing holiness in what? In preparation. By taking that time. Take time to be holy. Take time to spend time in God's presence. Take time to be holy. And then in practice. That as you go out after you've taken time to be holy in preparation, then you go out in practice. Holiness. You take the time to practice holiness throughout the day. And so this is the meaning of this particular verse right here. Now, what I'd like to do at this point is kind of look at this song and relate it to how we can take time to be holy. Now, as I said, holiness must be intentional. It's not going to happen by accident. You are not going to accidentally stumble upon holiness. You are not accidentally going to wander down the wrong way and find yourself on the highway of holiness. But you have to be intentional. You have to make up your mind. You have to say to yourself that I am going to live a holy life. And then as the writer of Hebrews says here, you've got to follow it. You've got to pursue it like one animal would pursue another animal. You've got to be hot on the tail of holiness. And so we want to look at some things that will help us take time to be holy. The first thing that I want to look at is what I call the rationalization. The rationalization for taking time to be holy. Why is it important that you take time to be holy? Well, we're going to draw all of our points right from the song. He says, take time to be holy. Why? The world rushes on. The world is rushing on. In 1 John, let's look at that. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The world is rushing on. John says, first of all, he tells us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because all that's in the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. All right, but then look at verse 17. He said, and the world passes away, and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He says here that the world is passing away. And the idea behind this verse is like if you were sitting or standing at a parade and you were watching the floats go by one, the floats are going by. Now, you could do one of two things. You could stand there and watch the floats go by, or you could try to pick out a float and try to run along with it, right? And so what are most Christians doing? We are trying to run along with the float, right? We are trying to run along with the parade instead of being still, being quiet, and sometimes watching it go by. We are trying to keep up with it. And the worst thing that we can do is try to keep up with it, because then the bad thing is that we know eventually, watch this now, watch this. We know eventually the parade is coming to an end. And so you are actually trying to keep up with something that's coming to an end. The songwriter said the world, what? Passes by, passes on. And we as God's children, we have to stop and we have to take time to spend with the Lord. Sometimes we just got to let the parade go by us. Now, I'm not saying to be irresponsible if we have responsibilities. I'm not saying that we should not do our due diligence in the things that we know we need to do. But brothers and sisters, sometimes you just have to let the parade go by. And you say that it's more important for me to root my soul. It's more important for me to ground my soul in the things of God than to try to keep up with this parade that one day is coming to an end. There was a person from the Orient that came to America, and they asked them to sum up the American society in three words. And I thought it was very apropos, and I've said this before. He summed it up in three words: hurry, worry, and bury. Hurry, worry, and bury. We hurry up so we can worry so that we can go to the grave. I heard somebody put it like this: we get up to hurry to the bathroom, to hurry to work, to hurry to get home, to hurry to go to bed. We hurry to get up so that we can hurry to go to the job, so that we can hurry to get home, so that we can hurry to go to bed. And that vicious cycle just goes on and on and on and on. And we are not taking time to be holy. Brothers and sisters, take time in preparation and in practice to be holy. I'm asking a question on each one of these. And the question that I'm asking here: are you trying to keep up with the rat race, or are you spending time looking in the Savior's face? Are you trying to keep up with the rat race, or are you spending time looking in the Savior's face? What is the motivation? That's the rationalization for taking time to be holy. You know, we're trying to get along with the Lord because the world is rushing on. What is the motivation for taking time to be holy? Well, the songwriter put it like this: by looking to Jesus, like him, thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. So, what is our motivation for taking time? Because the more I take time with Jesus, the more I look like him. You know, I said this before, right? Now, I don't own a dog, but sometimes people start looking like their dogs, right? Or the dogs start looking like the people. Right. Now, there's not a change in the dog's structure, and there's not a change in the person's structure. There's no change. But what? This is good. I think I'm going to buy this CD here, man. What's happening? Association, right? That you see the two together so much that when you see only one of them, you automatically, what, think of the other one. And so what John says in 1 John, let's look at that, 1 John, since we're already there. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we need to be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. I was sharing something with the people on Wednesday Bible study, and let me share this with you. It's a story about two men that met on the street. And one said to the other one, have you heard about Harry? He embezzled the company out of $500,000. The other man said, that's terrible. I never did trust Harry. The first man said, not only that, he left town and took Tom's wife with him. The other man said, that's awful. Harry's never been any good all of his life. The first man said, not only that, he stole a car to make his getaway. The other man said, that's scandalous. I always did think Harry had a bad streak in him. The first man said, not only that, they think he was drunk when he pulled out of town. The other man said, that no good. He said, but really, what really bothers me is who is going to teach his Sunday school class next week. See, the problem is, and I hate to say this, that some of God's people are looking less and less like Christ. You know, they're serving, they're doing things, they're representing the Lord, but they're looking less and less like him, right? Where we should be what? Looking more and more like him. Now, I know this is just a story here, but I wonder how this guy got to be a Sunday school teacher. So what is the motivation? It is so that we can be like Christ. And then in this song, he gives us several exhortations, and I'm going to kind of go through these real quick. Well, let me go back. The question for the motivation, the question is, are you more like Jesus now than you were last year? Are you more like Jesus now than you were last year? The exhortations to take time to be holy. Okay, well, first of all, spend time in prayer. All right, the songwriter said, take time to be holy. Speak off with our Lord. What does 1 Thessalonians 5:18 say? It says, pray without ceasing.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Holiness Must Be Intentional from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Holiness Must Be Intentional, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness Must Be Intentional. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness Must Be Intentional. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.